Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to a special edition of Radio Fishing. And we've got Captain Morris Campbell with us, and we're going to do an offshore fishing report, a little bit of inshore, and kind of tell you where the fish are and where they're biting. And this is Captain Morris.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And you were out fishing Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, we fished Friday and Saturday. We fished offshore on Friday. And we went out to about 90 feet of water, and we were fishing a little ledge with an area of patchy hard bottom around it. And since gag grouper are closed, we were targeting red grouper, and we caught quite a few red grouper off of it. We wound up keeping 6 red grouper up to around 12 pounds.
And how many feet of water were you in?
We were 90 feet.
90 feet.
90 feet.
So you're going out there a little ways.
Yeah, we were just a little ways out. It was a beautiful day, slick, calm, you know, it's the weather we've been having all week long, and it's beautiful. We caught all of the red grouper on live bait. We caught most of them on live squirrel fish and grunts.
So you're catching bait on the way out. Now, just out of curiosity, a lot of people, we always talk about using squirrel fish and grunts and stuff for bait. Where do you stop? I usually would go out in like 30, 35 feet of water and literally just take a half-ounce jig head and put a piece of shrimp on it and throw it overboard.
Mm-hmm. We're actually using the size 8 sabikis.
Really?
And most of the ones you have here in the store will work fine for this, but the size 8 seems to be most productive for them. And we'll use a 1-ounce sinker and a light spinning rod. And we just bounce those right off the bottom and just load them up on them. No bait required.
So you're not tipping them with anything. You're just letting a little feather hooks trail off there. And it seems like quite a bit on a sabiki. If you get 2 or 3 squirrel fish, they actually pull pretty good.
Yeah, they do. And the whole trick to that is on the sabiki, if you feel a bite, you don't set the hook. You just kind of just reel a couple turns up and just stop it, and then you'll get another bite. And you just let them load up on the hook. So you want to maximize what you're bringing up. You know, if you get that first bite, just kind of let it hang there with the tight line and just let them load up. Most of the time you'll get multiples, 2s, 3s, 4s. And wow. Sometime you'll fill every hook up.
Yeah, that's great. And squirrel fish, even though absolutely great bait fish, is also a very edible fish. And a lot of people that make them, and especially with soups, I don't know why, but a lot of people flay out the squirrel fish. And I've seen them in a lot of different sauce recipes and soup recipes. But so we've got our squirrel fish. We dropped our sabiki down, number 8 hooks, no bait, just about an ounce or better sinker, and let it bounce along the bottom, keeping your line tight. And then first hook, first time you get a fish on, just reel up a few cranks to keep it taut so he doesn't tangle it all up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what this the whole sabiki thing looks like, it looks like a little school of bait fish, small bait fish. That's why they have little epoxy. I prefer the ones that have the little green epoxy on the actual hook. And then they have a little mylar fly.
Yeah.
It's tied on there. That looks like a little plankton-sized bait fish to these guys. And what you're doing by that, by bouncing on the bottom, you're making it look real. So you're actually fishing artificials for bait.
But that's actually pretty cool. So grab their bait and go out there. Now, you're using them live, whole, and then if they die, do you use them in chunk bait?
We can use them in chunk bait. I prefer them live because that struggling, you know,
right,
that struggling bait fish down there on the bottom around the reef brings out the predator instinct to attack this thing, and you know, you get those resounding strikes.
So about a 7-8-aught hook, circle hook?
I'm using the ones, actually we use the ones you got in the store here. They're a 7-9-aught Daiichi, red
okay.
hooks,
yeah,
the circle hook, and those hook really well. And
now you hook them through the lips, the bait fish, hook it through the lips or across the nose, or
we tend to go in front of the eyes like you would hook a white bait.
Gotcha.
And the reason we do that is because, you know, a lot of times when these groupers strike, you know, sometimes they'll really pile on it pretty hard, and if it's hooked through the lips or if it's hooked, you know, in the nostrils or something like that, it'll tear right off, and you'll only get one shot at that fish should he miss it.
Right.
But if he's hooked in the eyes, then you're using the entire skull area, So it's gotcha. A firm hook, not, you know, not puncturing the eyes, but going in
like through the tear ducts. If they had tear ducts, yeah, it'd be where the tear ducts are.
In the eye socket, but not right. puncturing the eyes. And that bait will stay alive quite a long time like that, too. But usually they don't live to old age down there.
Yeah, well, that's the good part. Yeah. So they're paying homage, sacrificial offerings to the gods of Poseidon. So anyway, figured it out. But what type of fish are hitting in the Gulf? Have you come across anything unusual lately?
Well, on this particular trip, we landed 14 porgies, the bright blue colored striped porgies,
right.
and the jolt head porgies. We had four or five of those, you know, and some of the, we had one blue striped porgy that was about 7 pounds. It was about a 30 inch fish.
Now, what bait do you use on those?
We were using live shrimp. Again, that's my
go-to for snapper
and things like
snapper
that.
Snapper and grunts, rather, yeah.
And we had a whole pile of those porgies, which are real tasty fish, especially, you know, when they're up around 30 inches long. They're 7, 7.5 pound fish.
30-inch porgy is like catching a grouper.
It
I
is.
Mean, that's easily as good a fight as a grouper.
And again, we're catching all of those. We're using the Cabo 40s with the 20-pound tracer, the Berkeley tracer braid, and just really nice little St. Croix 7-foot medium heavy action spin rods for those.
Well, very cool. So we got a lot of porgies out there and some very unusual stuff, very tasty stuff. Hitting the grouper on your way back in, because you're out there ways. So on your way back in, you see anything cool going on?
We saw Spanish mackerel from the time we were leaving the harbor at Boca Grande Pass all the way out as far as you wanted to go. There were Spanish mackerel skyrocketing up and down the beach. There were kingfish. We saw a few kingfish while we were fishing. We didn't target kingfish because the people that I had out, they wanted to mainly concentrate on bottom fishing. And we did keep 15 mangrove snapper too. So
you had a really good day.
We did pretty fair.
Yeah. So we've got king mackerel out there. How far out would you say to go would be the best king mackerel fishing?
I wouldn't go far out at all. I would, you know, the water's still in the 70s. Low 70s, even along the beach, and there's a just bait fish as far as you can see along the beach, and the mackerel are there, blue runners are there, ladyfish are there, and in turn, those are all bait for those nice big kingfish,
so I would
look real close. I mean,
you can start looking in 15, 20 feet of water.
Exactly.
So that's really good news. You can go out right now and do king mackerel fishing in a flats boat.
You could.
Yeah. You don't have to have anything special, offshore rigs, couple of nice rods, throw some lures out the back, and you could actually do well.
Yep. I would throw out like you guys have an X-Wrap, a 30 size mm-hmm. X-Wrap in the store here, and that in like the dolphin pattern, or they've got a green sardine color that's got blue and green. It's like a sardine color. Those would be excellent king mackerel baits right now.
Get one of those down deep, come up on the top with maybe a standard X-Wrap, 15 bomber, something like that.
15 bomber, chartreuse or gold for those.
Yeah, excellent. That would be a real nice combination. Normal rod, heavy rod. If you don't have something to use for grouper, just take your tarpon rod and stick that big 30 on your tarpon rod. It'll hold.
And you never know when you're going to run into that rare and endangered gag grouper that's going to destroy your stretch 30 or your X-Wrap 30.
That's cool. Yeah, because, I mean, you're looking at some of those gags that close in right now, there's some big fish.
We've got some 22, 25-pound gags trolling in less than 40 feet of water.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get out 30 foot, maybe a little bit more to pull that stretch 30. But, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of variation in the fish, too, because, I mean, you still have the occasional cobia going through there, the king mackerel, the different groupers that'll hit it, the Goliath grouper, Jewfish. There's just a nice selection of fish, and you don't have to be far out to do it. This cool weather's got them right there on the beach. So if you were going to... like, say you got a small boat, you just want to go out. How's Trembley, Novak, power poles? Heard anything off of them?
Well, again, all of those reefs are very good structures and close, and they all hold bait fish. And there's so many bait fish around right now that, you know, obviously you're going to have all kind of predator fish congregated on those structures. Last two trips out, we've caught cobias, and we've caught cobias in the 40-pound class range, and we were
those
fishing
are nice
structures.
Fish. Yeah.
obviously, you know, you're not.
Now, are you anchoring up for or drifting?
We always anchor in those situations. The only time we would drift fish, and that's kind of like misleading, because if we're in very deep water and we're bottom fishing, and by deep water I mean 200 feet or better,
right?
I will just hold position with the boat over the spot while they put down. You know, very rarely would I just, you know, do a drift where you just drift over an area, because the areas that I like to target are specific areas. You know, they're not vast expanses, which
right.
we have.
You're looking
very
for that very specific spot and just anchoring on it, doing
an
buoy drop.
Yeah, it's an oasis done. in an mm-hmm. otherwise desert world.
Well, that's I was watching that thing on Weather Channel about the reef guys out in the Gulf, because there's so little structure in the Gulf. They drop all kinds of reefs for people out there. I want to find out if we can do that down here in Florida. I think it's illegal in Florida, but for some reason it's actually legal up in Louisiana, Alabama areas. They can have their own reefs and take them out there and put them in. That would be a great gig for here. Be able to take your little, you know, drop your reef out there, and expensive, but very cool.
I've heard in the past of people making their own reefs out there, but
there's washing machines and old vehicles, and I mean, there's a lot of different structure that's been put into the Gulf. What's actually amazing, and if you were out there and you took a beer bottle and dropped it and it went down to the bottom, that's going to get barnacles on it. Then it's going to get other stuff growing off of that, and other stuff growing off of that. In a very few years, you would actually have a reef from a can or a bottle. It doesn't take much more than that to start a reef.
Absolutely not.
I'm not suggesting anybody does that.
One of my favorite spots when I was charter fishing many years ago was an old scuttled shrimp boat that was completely destroyed, except for the outriggers and the engine block, and the entire drivetrain and propeller were still intact. And there was one outrigger boom that was sticking up off the bottom. The other one was just laying on the bottom. And we caught so many fish off of that area. It was just unbelievable.
So anyway, we've been talking about what's going on in the Gulf. Real nice porgy bite, which is something we don't get that often. The red grouper doing good,
right?
Mangrove snapper, we've got Spanish mackerel, king mackerel, all kinds of fish out there. Of course, you're going to run into the out-of-season gag groupers, but this is Captain Morris. Now, before we wrap up, we just got one more thing. How was the fishing inside?
We did really well inshore. We had a negative tide. We're on a negative tide right now, or in the mornings. Caught plenty of white bait. We were catching white bait out near Devilfish Key, and there was plenty of it. It was a one throw and go kind of proposition. Early in the morning on the negative tide, we caught plenty of redfish, all upper slot to just over slot. And we were fishing in the Widden Creek area and the edge of Bull Bay, and there were some enormous snook hanging around. They're enjoying this Indian summer as much as we are. And we did catch six of those snook, and I think our small one was 32, 33 inch.
Yeah, that's a nice day. But judging by the sound of the music, I think we're just about out of time. But thanks so much, Morris, for coming in and helping me out on the offshore report. And if you see the lady die, wave. You know that. You got that royalty wave you have to do on that boat, don't you?
No, we try not to do that.
Okay, well, this is Fish and Frank, and Captain Morris helped me out with an offshore report. And thanks so much for listening, guys. Radio Fishing, exclusively on fishandfranks.com.